I'm here with Rory Brown, and he is now visiting Cuba from his native land of Puerto Rico, and it is a privilege for me to do an interview. I wonder if we could begin, if it's okay with you, if we could begin talking about your relationship with Cuba and a little bit of your experiences in Cuba and what you have learned about Cuba and our island, and tell us a little bit about
that. Well, that takes a long time because It's a relationship that begins in 1971. That was the first time I came here. The reason I have been coming here often since 1917 is because my daughter is a ballet student at the Escuela Nacional de Ballet in La Habana, in the old Havana. So I visit her twice, three times a year since she moved here in 1917 during the summer. So I've been coming often and remaking friends that I used to meet in all over the world, in Mexico, in New York, in Puerto Rico when they went to sing, different singers. And so that I have a newly acquired relationship with Cuba. I have been here often. My relationship began in 1971 when I visited here with a group of musicians called Taone. And then I came here again to work on a movie that Icaic produced for Puerto Rico called Puerto Rico, which dealt with the uprising of the nacionalistas under the leadership of Pedro Albizu Campos. And then the economic change that occurred during the 1950s, where supposedly Puerto Rico was given autonomy, and we changed our name from Puerto Rico to Estado Libre Asociado, which in the English language is called a Commonwealth. Both denominations are completely contradictory, because we are not a state, we are not free, and we are loosely associated by a law that was passed in the United States Congress, which is the Law 600, denominates us a territory. Mm-hmm. We were invaded in 1898, and we successive laws passed by Congress defined our relationship with the United States militarily, economically, politically. And in 1952, the Estado Libre Asociado, the Commonwealth, supposedly gave us autonomy. And the autonomy, what it meant was that we could pass any law that did not contradict the laws of Congress or the Constitution of the United States. We were allowed to elect local officials, but we were under the command of the Navy. We were a territory, and the Navy was the strong influence, had the strongest impact on our life. It owned large tracts of land. Our economy was changed from a small farmer economy. It had sugarcane, of course, coffee, tobacco, and other minor produce of the. And we had a small industrial part of our economy, but it wasn't a large part. When the United States invades and establishes its government, our monetary system was completely changed from el peso español to the dollar. And that means everybody who had money, its value was completely thrown away. And people who had money were left without money. Therefore, the large companies that wanted to change the economy of Puerto Rico, at that moment, we're talking 1900, they bought all the land and they established large, huge sugarcane factories. And created a large, huge working class that worked in the fields. What happened in the 1950s was that economy was transformed into something that was called manos a la obra. Our hands will construct our future, something like that. And there was a large amount of investment in factories, but not enough workers were going to enter that phase of our economy. So, and the economy of workers that in the sugarcane completely lost its value, land lost its value, and people were left without work. And the government of the United States in Puerto Rico established a method of life which thousands and thousands of Puerto Ricans were left Puerto Rico to work in the farm fields of the United States, New Jersey, and to work also in factories in New York and in New Jersey and wherever, in Florida. So we became, we lost about one third of our population. That and the army. We had a very important presence in the United States Army during World War II and after World War II, especially in the War of Korea, especially in the War of Vietnam, Iraq. And now we are in a different economic situation. We are in another phase because we are not of interest to the Navy anymore. The Navy has almost completely abandoned their interest in Puerto Rico. So we are at this moment in a limbo. The big problem that the United States has with Puerto Rico is that they don't have a plan. They do not have a vision of how they are going to relate to Puerto Rico. And somehow, 8, 10, 15 years ago, a process began, which was that the government of Puerto Rico began to, since we were losing our production, we were not producing riches, money for our economy, the government began taking loans. And we're talking about huge amounts of money loaned by Wall Street. The government of the federal government began giving different departments of our government huge amounts of money. All this money has not been accounted for. It's lost. It's lost in the internet. Mm-hmm. It's lost in limbo. It's mm-hmm. lost in the cloud. Mm-hmm. So at this moment, we own Wall Street, 7,200,000. I can't even count it, but it's about $7,200 billion in debt, which there is no way we can pay. And the government is completely static. And with the government of the United States had no other recourse but to name a junta of fiscal control. This junta has total control of our laws, of spending, of money that comes into our economy. No law can be passed if the junta does not approve it. No monies can be spent if the junta does not approve it. And the director of the junta is the same person that was one of the main leaders of the chaos, the created chaos in the Ukraine. I forget her name, but you will pardon me. Maybe you can look it up later. What's her name? And anyway, she is the same person. So our economy, our future, we're kind of like in limbo. We don't know really what we're going to do. And our debt is so much that we cannot pay it. So the relationship between the United States and Puerto Rico is not defined, is not clear. It's our problem, but it's also a huge problem for the United States because there's all this money that is owed. And they have to deal with the situation because those who are owed this money, well, if they feel they have a right to collect. A large part of this money is money that people bought bonds and stocks at a price. And then there was this crisis that we had 10 years ago, was it? In the United States and in Europe and all over the world. Well, that crisis affected the value of those bonds. So if you bought those bonds for a dollar, those bonds fell. They dropped to about 20 cents, 15 cents. It was a total loss for people who bought those bonds. What happened? Well, there's a name for it, the buitres. How would you know what the buitre is? A buitre is like the bird of prey that eats the dead. Well, the buitres bought up all this stock for 15 cents. But when they present their case to the Congress, they present their case to the junta, and they present their case to the courts, they say, No. You owe me a dollar. You don't owe me 50. This is the value of this. So that has been the big problem. First, where did the money go? Who authorized those loans? And why should the people of Puerto Rico pay $1 for something that's worth 15? So that's where we are at. We have no money. Our economy is because we have a huge government. The government is the biggest thing in Puerto Rico.